You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, episode number 734. This is Features Editor John Gentile, and the heat wave beginneth tomorrow, over 100 degrees here in the Philadelphia area. And more, what's the heat like up there in Canada? It should be like 30 or 40 degrees, right? Because it's Canada, right? Snow and all that jazz.
Oh, totally. But it's 30 and 40 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not made for the heat. I do not like the heat. But we got these really cool, like, neck fans that seem to be working pretty well. So they'll get a workout. They've got a workout today. They'll get a workout tomorrow. I'll report
Yeah.
back.
And more and her neck fans. I'm going to install my air
Hell
conditioner
yeah.
tonight, I think. So yeah, so it's going to be pretty hot tomorrow. So yeah, listen. So we're a little behind. I mean, we've actually got a whole bunch of stuff in the chamber. I've been dragging my behind on editing it because you know I've got a life. But you know tonight is going to be a freestyle, so it's going to be up literally an hour and 10 minutes after we record. It'll be up 10 minutes after we record. Then
Hell
I'm going to try
yeah.
to edit an episode or two and get those up. We got some cool stuff in the can. So yeah, so that's what's happening at Punk News. Let's see what else happened. Summer Soiree 9, 1 month away. Denver.
Holy.
Capigouli. RNJ of the Slackers doing all Clash. The Drugettes doing all Clash. And the Draculas doing all Clash. So that'll be cool. That's in Philadelphia. Tickets are 66% sold out. So you'll probably want to get a ticket if you want to go soon. Only $20. Can't beat that. Oh, also, here's what's happening. MM, guess who I'm seeing
Yes.
on Friday? I mean, you're not going to guess, but guess who I'm seeing on Friday?
Sting and Shaggy do their
Good
Broadway
guess.
show.
I wish I would go. I wish I would. I am seeing Afro Man, and we will see how that goes.
Oh, that'll be
Guess how much
fun.
tickets are, though, Em?
Is he playing a big venue?
No, he's playing a place called Phantom Power, which is
Okay.
kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of near Lancaster, PA. Does that name mean anything to you, Em? Lancaster, PA?
No.
So you know Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a relatively big city. I live just outside Philadelphia. Lancaster is
Yes.
about 50 minutes or an hour outside of Philadelphia, and it's where the Amish people live. And you know what Amish people are?
Yeah, we have a couple communities around here.
So it's like all farming, and so that's kind of where the venue is. So it's out in the middle of nowhere. The venue itself is called Phantom Power, and I would say capacity, I don't know, 150 to 200. So not super big. Not tiny, but not super big.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to say tickets were $35.
$50 before fees. I thought that was a little high, but you know, Afro Man is literally at the height of his career, even though he had a major one-hit wonder in the late 90s, early 2000s. He's literally at the height. So I guess I can't blame him. I feel a little squeezed by that M. I would say 40, I'd be like, yeah, all right. 35, I'd be like, yeah, sure. 50, a little high, I feel. But, you know, especially because, like, if you go see any other band at that venue, you're looking at 20 or $25, you know.
Oh, sure. Are you planning on getting merch? And how much do you think it'll be?
You know, good question. I usually before show, I usually decide if I will or will not get merch. You know, I'm probably
Yeah.
not going to get a shirt because I mean, am I really going to wear an Afro Man T-shirt? Probably not. You know what I mean?
Fair
If he's got
point.
if he's got a cool looking CD or record, I would consider buying that for sure. Especially if he's got a see all his new songs, which the you know the, all the funny ones. I don't
Oh,
think
yeah.
they're on any album, but I'll tell you if he's doing like handmade
Cool.
CD art. The new stuff, I'm buying that stuff in 3.5 seconds. You know what I mean?
Oh, hell yeah. What
But
if he has the American flag jacket or something?
yeah, honestly, I'm not gonna buy that because I'm not gonna wear it also because I literally maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, Judas Priest was having a huge online sale for stuff that didn't sell, and I bought
Oh,
a
yeah.
replica 1980 tour jacket. It's this big,
Oh,
it's this Judas
that's
Priest Steel
cool.
1980 US tour. And then what they did a good job in that. Like, you know, Alice Cooper, I'm a huge fan. I beat up on him a lot. And in some ways, he doesn't deserve it. In some ways, he does. Alice Cooper merchandise looks like it was made for Hot Topic. It's got like that cheesy, like Photoshop sheen, you know? My Judas Priest tour jacket looks like a jacket from 1980. It looks pretty cool. So the answer is no, because I got my brand new Judas Priest jacket.
Fair enough. Yes. Oh, that'll be cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing all the updates on how the show went and
So,
if you got anything.
but notably, Em, it is the day before 4th of July. And of course, this tour is like the Freedom Tour and Afro Man celebrating
Oh.
his freedom of speech. So we'll see how that goes, you know. And place your bet. Will the show be awesome, crazy, and rad? Will it be just okay, or will it be bad? What do you think?
I think it's going to be awesome, crazy, and rad. I
We'll
have
see.
very high hopes.
I am
What do
excited
you
to see half.
think?
I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be like crazy off the hook, like No Doubt or even David Lee Roth, or I'm trying to think of another better example, or KRS-One. I think it's just going to be Afro Man with backing tracks. I think he's got two female singers with him.
Oh,
So
cool.
you, the word female, it seems odd. When I say two male singers, I probably wouldn't. Two woman
No, like
singers. What's the best way to phrase that? You know what I mean?
two singers that are women.
Two women singers. Yeah, okay, that sounds
Yeah.
better. Because if you say two female singers, it sounds like I'm looking at specimens or something. You know what I mean? So anyway, so
Yeah,
he's got two lady
not
singers, two
good.
women singers. So we'll see. So yeah, so that's what's happening. Big news week at Punk News. Oh, one other thing, and then we'll get into it. So a lot of news to cover because we've been having on a lot of guests. And
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I am getting constant requests to have guests on the show. And on one hand, I'm like, yeah, this is an interesting way to spice it up. But on the other hand, I'm a little guessed out. You know what I mean? And I
Sure.
like, do fans want to hear a new guest every week, or do they just want to hear you and I and Sam, rap? Like, what do the fans want? I really don't know. How are you feeling
Have
about our
we
situation? I mean, now obviously, if Keith Morris or Jesse Michaels or Stevie Wonder or Ari Up is back from the dead and want to come on, obviously we're gonna have them on, no question. But do we want to have on bands that we like that aren't particularly huge? And do we want to have on bands that are buzzy bands? And do we want to have on bands that the audience might like that we're not particularly interested in? I can think of one band that I'm not really a fan of, but she's a great guest, so she's welcome on the show at any time. And the only way we discovered that was just by having her on the show. I'll say, I don't have to be vague. It's Brenna Red of The Last Gang. I'm not a huge fan of that band, but I'm a huge
Oh.
fan of having Brenna on the show. She's a great person to have on the show. Very interesting, really has opinions. Sometimes then we have people on
Yeah,
and
it's
I'm
really
like,
cool.
so what do you think of this new song? And they're like, oh, I have to check it out. Or what do you think of this new legal policy that got passed? It's like, well, some people like it and some people don't like it. And that's how it is. It was like, how's your new record going? Like, how do you feel about your new record? It's cool. It's like a thanks.
Yeah.
So Em, what do we do about the guest situation on the show? What do we do?
It's been so long since it's just kind of been like we're just kind of like hanging out and talking and like talking about news stuff. So I like having a balance where it's okay, we're gonna have like some cool guests and then we're gonna have like some kind of more like hangy outy podcasts and stuff. And not saying we don't like hang out with the guests sometimes, like obviously we do, and that's really cool. But I think kind of have the mix of everything. Have we gotten any like mail about that? Like what do the listeners think?
It's been so long since we've given out the email podcast@punknews.org. If you want to give your opinion, we should probably get that
Yeah.
every episode. We give it out maybe once a year. That's podcast@punknews.org.
Yeah, more guests, less guests. Don't email asking to be a guest on the podcast.
But do you enjoy having guests on, M?
I like having guests on. I think it's fun. I think it's interesting because like some of the people or like bands that we have on, like I'm not super familiar with, so it's fun to like dive into their stuff and then like meet them and everything. And then other people I'm like super like I love their stuff and like listen very regularly, so it's really cool to be able to have those interactions like with the podcast. I do think that, well, I know like just for me, like the next like couple months or whatever are pretty like booked for like interviews and stuff. So it's kind of nice to like have a break in one way. But I like meeting people and seeing what people have to say about their art and kind of like I've had. I can't think of like a specific example off the top of my head right now, but there's definitely been people who have come on the podcast who like I've been like vaguely familiar with, and then it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, like you're really cool. I want to listen to more of your stuff. So like that's always a fun thing.
Well, like who?
Yeah, I can't think of an example right now, but like I will think about it and like circle back to me. My brain's kind of like mush right now. I don't do well with the heat. I'm like a sea slug.
Have you ever had a guest on that offended you? Like a couple of guests, I think
Oh.
genuinely offended Hallie Bullet, and I think upset her that she wasn't a fan of. Have we ever had a guest on that you felt was offensive or that we shouldn't have on?
Offensive or we shouldn't have on. Do you have an answer to that? Because I just need to think for a minute.
Do
Right
I have an
now, I would
answer?
say no,
No, I mean,
but
it's
I'll
honestly, it's
just
pretty hard
think.
to offend me. Like, it's rare that we're going to have on someone that's truly going to offend me. We probably have had guests on where I disagree with their opinions on things, but that, I mean,
Yeah.
that's what makes the show interesting. If everyone agrees all the time, you know. However, usually when we have on
True.
someone that I disagree with, is they're not my guest, you know, and so it's a little rude for me to get into it with them because they're not really my guest. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's very fair. Yeah, like I think I'd be in the same boat. I can't think of like any interview that I've been on or like a part of or whatever where I've felt like walking out.
Let's see. Did I talk about going to Camp Punksylvania?
No, you talked about No Doubt. How was Camp Punk?
Well, you know, I mean, I'll be honest. Is so I was at Camp Punksylvania, which and from your perspective, to me, it seems like Camp Punksylvania is growing and is becoming more and more of a national event that people know about. Is that what
Yeah.
is that what appears to be coming across your radar?
I think so. Yeah, like there's definitely more people kind of taking notice of it, and like the lineup this year seemed really good.
So I went just for one day to see DFL. There was a lot of people there. I counted about 500 people, I'd say.
Holy.
It's in a, I don't know how to describe. I guess it's a fairgrounds, but it's like a very old school fairground in that it's actually like a bunch of barns and stuff. And actually, it's so old school
Oh,
that I don't know if this makes sense to you. And there's a urinal, but it's a urinal trough. If that makes it, you know what that is?
oh, yeah. Yeah, it's
So
just like
like it's
a latrine, right?
like old school,
Yeah.
you know. And so there was a lot of, you know, about 500 people. Like, they seemed like they were having fun. It's almost more of a social event than a concert in that there's two or even three
Oh.
stages, but except for during like the headliners, for the most part people are just kind of hanging out wherever they're at, like drinking or having food or whatever. And the music is almost, I don't want to say a background, but I would say the music is 50% of the event. It seems to most people, not the, like at punk rock bowling, people hang out, but the music is 85% of the event, you know.
Sure, yeah.
I'm trying to think, at Riot Fest, it's like 90% of the event, 90, you know, at Camp Punksylvania, it's more like 50% of the event. That is because people do camp there. Frankly,
Oh,
so it seems
yeah.
like a lot of people were having fun. It's not really my style, honestly. I'm not into camping. I'm not into getting, you know, kind of dusty and grimy. But so it's not really my style, but I will say the event itself is really impressive, and it's a lot of bands. There's a lot of orchestration going on. There's a lot of, actually, I bought a fair amount of records. There's a lot of
Oh,
vendors.
nice.
There's a lot of food, that kind of stuff. So if you are into camping and hanging out, then that is your scene. I'm more glamorous, which is I gotta stop talking about punk rock bowling, you know. But you know, I love punk rock bowling where I stayed at El Cortez, the luxurious hotel, go to the
Oh,
concert,
yeah.
come home and take a shower at night, you know, maybe even 2 showers a day in Las Vegas, you know.
Many showers.
So you know, it's not my vibe, but it seems like it was a lot of people's vibes. I actually left before Ice-T played Body Count. I regret it. Apparently, like, Ice-T was like awesome,
Why
and
did you
like
leave?
because the band, I went to see DFL and they were done at like 5 o'clock, and you know, it's dusty, it's hot out there. I had stuff to do that weekend. If Body Count, and honestly, like, Ice-T's the man. Body Count, like, I don't know if Body Count is that great of a band. They're, you know, are the songs in Body Count really that great? However, I was wrong in that even though maybe the songs aren't that great, the performance is awesome. And apparently, like, Ice-T's like the coolest dude ever in that, like, obviously he gets tons of money from, well, actually, I would think he gets tons of money from CSI. Like, that's in syndication. He's got to be getting mad bang. So the word on the street is that, like, he does Body Count almost for fun and or the artistic experience, and that like it's not even about the money at all. It's about doing music, which is cool. And
Oh, that's so nice.
apparently, like he
Yeah.
was cool. I mean, he didn't like hang out with the crowd, but he like, you know, like if you wanted to take a picture with him and stuff, he would do that. And also,
Right.
apparently, like you know, that kind of a thing. It's in the middle of the Poconos in PA, which in the middle of the woods, you know, kind of nowhere. Is a lot of artists would just show up, do the set, and leave. You know, apparently, like Ice-T like had a couple of spiels prepared about how it was cool that he was there he worked the crowd in that. Like, I don't know if any of that was true or not, but he at least he did the festival the respect of putting on a show like they genuinely wanted to be there and wanted to rock the crowd, which they did, you know. So
Oh, yeah, nice.
he what I'm saying is he treated this festival as seriously as he would treat, say, even Riot Fest, you know. And
Of
that
course.
like he they came to put on a full performance. They were happy to be there and they rocked. Everyone says body count was awesome, so I regret missing that. On my way driving home, I stopped at Turkey Hill. Turkey Hill's a gas station, and across from the Turkey Hill, there's a giant sign that said "Wacky Worm," and it had a neon orange worm and a neon green worm. And for some reason,
Oh.
in my mind, I'm thinking like, "Oh, like that must be like a roller skating rink where you like roller skate and do laser tag at the same time or something." And there was a guy sweeping outside, and I'm like, "What's Wacky Worm?" And he looks at me and he goes, "Wacky Worm?" I'm like, that giant sign across the street. And he turned to look across the street, and it was like the first time he'd ever seen this giant sign that said "Wacky Worm." You know, it was trippy. That gives you an idea of you know where that where you know the area. Anyway, and what do you think
Sure,
"Wacky
yeah.
Worm" actually was?
Mini putt.
No, it's a bait shop. I was so disappointed. I'm like, "Wacky Worm, wow, it's a bait
Oh.
shop." You know, like, oh, you know, that's not that
Oh.
exciting,
Boo.
you know.
Oh,
So I'm sure.
did you see the OBGMs?
No, I just saw DFL, honestly.
Oh.
So
You should have seen the OBGMs. They are so good live.
I think I seen them at Punk Rock Bowling once, I think. Oh, and I also saw Soji with the new singer. Soji with the new singer is great too. They're great with the old singer, they're great with the new
Yeah.
singer. So Soji's cool. We ought to have them on a Punk New show again. We had them on one before. I think the Mean Gene show we had them on. So that's that. And let's hit up some news, I guess. M. Jella Biafra, he's back in action. He's back on stage, as the listeners surely know. I would say about 4 months ago, Jello had a pretty serious stroke, and he had to go to the hospital. And he is or was going through physical rehab. And this past weekend was Tentacle Fest, the annual alternative tentacle music fest. Wheelchair Sports Camp was headlining. Wheelchair Sports Camp is the young lady that's in a wheelchair, and I think she might be a little person, and she raps, and it's a pretty far out thing. Jello got up on stage and performed with her, and in true Jello style, he was wearing like a cape and like underwear and like no shirt and like no pants, and it was just Jello being Jello, and it was great to see Jello back in action. And I don't know if you have any and so. Oh, he also has on like one of these like military. Yeah, so he's got on leather underwear, one of these military hats, and it looks like an overcoat, and you know
And a
his
harness.
and a harness and aviator glasses. And he got up there and performed. And I gotta say, it was pretty cool to see Jello back in action. And I gotta say, Em, for having had a stroke like 3 or 4 months ago, he's looking pretty good. He looks pretty good.
And he sounds really good too. Like, it's great to see
Yes.
him out and like doing stuff and back, you know, getting back to being like rehabbing and stuff. Like, it's awesome to see.
So
Nothing
that's
but good
awesome.
health to Jello.
Yeah, it's cool. So I'm glad to see that Jello is working his way back up them stairs, and that's pretty cool. So kudos to Jello. I don't have any grand perspective on that. It's just cool to see Jello back. Let's see here. Okay, so here's two related things. I'm gonna
Yes.
do them both. So Olivia Rodrigo, who was a huge pop star, but how huge of a pop star is she? Is she at Taylor Swift level? I think she's pretty big,
Oh,
but is she
she's
Taylor?
huge. Oh, sorry.
So like, let's see here. So Olivia, have you heard her new album? Apparently, everyone says it's great. I have not heard it.
I have not heard it.
She's got.
I heard a couple songs when she did the musical guest on SNL, but other than that, no.
So she's got 41 million followers. Let's look at Chappell Roan. Because Chappell Roan is pretty huge, or was pretty huge last year.
Oh yeah, I think she's still pretty big.
Wow. Olivia Rodrigo is. Chappell Roan's only 7.7 million followers. So Olivia Rodrigo is like way bigger than Chappell Roan. I thought Chappell Roan was bigger. Let's
Oh,
look at
I'm kind of
Taylor.
surprised. That's cool. Oh
So,
yeah, I
and
don't think anyone's going to be
lastly,
touching Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift is 273 million. Just like, wow.
Yeah, that's a
Wow.
lot.
So okay, so she like Olivia Rodrigo, how many tickets would she sell? Does she sell like 20,000 tickets?
For what? Sorry.
For a show. Like what size of venue does Olivia Rodrigo play?
Arenas.
So she does like 70,000 tickets. I mean 20,000
Yeah.
tickets rather. Okay, she's huge. So she's
She's
huge.
big. Yeah.
I'm looking up like right here, just get an idea. She plays well, she played the Echo in LA. That's not that big, is it? Maybe I'm thinking the Echo Plex. She played, I'm trying to get an idea here. I'm wasting time, but
Let me pull. Yeah, so she played the Scotiabank Arena, or is playing Scotiabank Arena in Toronto.
okay, so
Scotiabank.
go ahead.
What were you gonna say?
I'm looking up the capacity. Scotiabank Arena capacity. That'll give us a great idea. Here we go. 20,000 seats. Okay, so that's big. That's big.
Yeah.
You know, that's one step down from as big as it gets. So she's huge. She's huge. I mean, I knew she was big, but so anyways, she's
Yeah.
throwing a music festival. It's called Daisy Chain. Here she's playing M, Bikini Kill, Chapel Roan, Die Spits, Garbage, Mitski, Cat's Eye, Olivia Rodrigo, but she's like way down on the list for some reason. Oh, because alphabetical order.
Yeah.
Santigold, The Breeders, Karen O of the Yes, Sarah McLachlan, and Stevie Nicks. Wow. Wow. So that's Olivia, and I think Olivia Rodrigo is only like 23. I think she's pretty young. And similarly, Turnstile, who is now huge, who are playing, let's see the size that they play. They play.
They are, oh, goodness.
They're playing the Forest Hill Stadium. Let's see how big that is.
Yeah.
Here we go. Forest Hill Stadium capacity M.
I'm going to
13,000.
say.
13,000.
Oh,
So they're
okay.
about half as big. That's crazy. That Turnstile is half as big as Olivia Rodrigo. They're doing a tour
Nuts.
M, and the openers are Texas is the Reason, Haywire, Ceremony, Angel Dust, Thundercat, Clips. Interesting. Die
Yeah.
Spits, Slater, Vince Staples, Pennywise, Boy Harsher, Terror, and a bunch of other bands. So, M, we've got this interesting dynamic now. You know, back in the 90s, which M doesn't even remember because she wasn't even born yet, there was this
Hey.
whole divide between pop and underground music, or or indie. Now, M, it's all collapsed upon in of itself, and all is indie. Olivia Rodrigo, one of the biggest names in pop music, is having Bikini Kill play her show. Santigold, The Breeders, Stevie Nicks, so and also Garbage, but also Chapel Roan, Mitski, and Mitski is one of these artists that is both indie and mainstream, which is kind of interesting. So we've got Olivia Rodrigo, who's a bona fide as big as it gets pop star, having punk-ish bands playing, and we also have Turnstile, a band that started out in hardcore that I don't think is hardcore anymore. And I'm not faulting them. They're a pop band now. They are bringing legit punk bands to their tour. Hatebreed, Ceremony, Haywire for sure, Die Spits, Boy Harsher, Terror, Trash Talk, Pennywise. They're bringing all those bands to their shows. So we've got this world, M, where is there, A, what do you think of this festival and these tours? And B, does the pop slash alt underground punk divide even exist? Or is there just one music now and that's what there is? And is that good or bad?
I think there's still a divide for sure, but I think a lot of things have gotten a little kind of mixed up, like with Olivia Rodrigo, just with her first album. She used a lot of imagery that was very similar to an indie artist. So, like, either if she was a fan of this artist or if someone on her team was, it was very clear that, like, someone was paying attention to the underground scene, and bringing it to her. And again, that easily could have been she was the person, right, who was
Ah, but
into
M,
it.
is that homage and respect, or is that vampiric predatory behavior?
It depends how it's done. In this case, I think there was a very fine line, and I don't know which way that that would have fallen. I think now, though, with her and how she's presenting herself and everything, I think that's fully how she wants to be presenting herself. And I have a feeling at the beginning of her career, like her singing career or whatever, that's not how she wanted to present herself. So that's just something like we'll never truly know, but I think there's a very fine line with the early thing. And then with her festival, like there's been a lot, like over the past like year and a bit, there's been a lot of like stuff about Lilith Fair. Like there was a documentary that came out, that was really, really interesting, and everyone should go check that out because that was really cool. So there's a lot more kind of like renewed interest in that type of festival, and she has said that this festival is in line with that, and she wanted to kind of create this or capture the spirit of Lilith Fair and kind of all of these really cool like femme people and like bands and like all this kind of stuff and give them like gather them all in one place and have kind of a Lilith Fair type deal. So I think that's really cool. And also proceeds are going to nonprofit organizations that will support women's rights, which is also great. I was surprised like looking at the lineup because it's a really good mix of like bands and artists. Like you have Doechii and Chaperone, and then you have like Bikini Kill and Die Spits and like all this kind of and Garbage, and like Stevie Nicks is going to be there, and Karen O is going to be there, and the Breeders, and like all of these just really, 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 really rad bands. And I think it's really interesting that like there's a lot of music festivals, like the Loud Women Music Festival, or not a lot of music festivals, but there are more music festivals now that focus on femme and non-binary like voices in punk or in like alternative music, like what Loud Women's doing with their Loud Women Fests, in different cities, and they have amazing lineups that are local and international, and a lot of other festivals kind of focus it or trying to bring more kind of underrepresented voices into the fold. But it's really cool to see somebody who has such a big following like do this and be like, this is something that's really important to me, and this is something that I have the resources to create, and that's what I'm going to do with the resources. So I think that's really, really, really cool. And also Bikini Kill are just sick. And so many of these bands are just awesome. And then with Turnstile, it's interesting how they have such a wide-ranging opening acts too. Like I think that's really, really neat because it's like, oh yeah, like you can go and see Turnstile, but you can also see like Angel Dust and Texas Is a Reason and Haywire and Ceremony and Saya Gray and like all these other like cool people and whatever. The one thing with Turnstile that like I am not a huge Turnstile fan. I respect what they do. But yeah. So, ticket prices. They are playing, I believe it's one show in Canada. They are playing Toronto and they're playing Woodbine Park. Tickets for that show were priced at 150 Canadian dollars. Well, the US dates ranged between 30 and $100. So that's just something kind of interesting. I don't know if that's surge pricing. I don't know if that's something that was, what
I don't
happened
think
there.
Turnstile tickets. I don't think they're that cheap. I think you might be. Let me look it up. I think in America they were like $150 because I saw somebody complaining about that online. Let me look. So let's see here. Are you still there? Okay, yeah. But go ahead. I'm gonna look it up while you keep talking.
Yeah, but like the Toronto, like look at the difference between the American date and the Canadian date, because the Canadian date is a lot higher for not resale, for like a regular, just a ticket. So like one, the example that was given was, where
MUSA
was
tickets
it?
start at $116.
Miami started at $31 US. That was their selling point. And Toronto's baseline was 150 before resales, before anything.
Where are you getting that information from?
It's on Exclaim,
I'm not sure
and
that's accurate.
they have a bunch of like outside sources and stuff from it.
I'm looking at Forest Hills right now. And Forest Hills starts at $121.
Is that resale though?
No, that's straight up normal.
Okay. This was published
I think.
on June 25th. That is something that, whatever.
Actually, I might be wrong. There actually might those might be resale prices. You might be
Yeah.
right. Let's see here. Yeah, actually, that might be resale. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think
For
it's
the
at 30
60
bucks in
plus
America, though.
ones.
I don't think anybody, I don't think there's such a thing as a $30 Ticketmaster price in America, you know?
Before the fees, apparently, Miami.
Maybe like a limited number. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't more cheaper in, I mean, more expensive in Canada, but in Canada, they have visa costs and all that. I'm not saying it's cool, you know? But they got more costs there. I'm not defend. I don't know why I'm defending Turnstile. I don't really care about Turnstile one way or another.
Oh,
Let's
I
see here,
just think it was
Toronto.
an interesting thing.
That is interesting.
But yeah, what are your thoughts on Daisy Field or Daisy Chain Fields and Turnstile Tours?
With Olivia Rodrigo, well, you are right. $150 standard ticket in Canada. So was that, is that like $110 American?
I don't know the conversion off the top of my head. I will look it up.
Let's see.
150 CAD to
It's
American.
0.7, so it's going to be $70 plus 35. That's 105 bucks American.
Yeah, there you are.
So I mean that's expensive for that is, well, I mean like if you went and saw Paul McCartney, tickets are like 200, But the point being is actually if you went and saw Olivia Rodrigo, tickets probably started 100 bucks. Turnstile is almost as big as Olivia Rodrigo, which is crazy. I mean that's crazy, and Turnstile. Anyways, I always like to kind of try to pit ideas against each other. And the good angle of Olivia Rodrigo is this is cool that, she's using her pop power. And I'm not anti-pop. I like lots of pop music. I don't like a lot of it too. She's using her pop power to highlight some of these, more sort of under, I mean, is Bikini Kill underground? Kind of, sort of, But I think it's cool that she's highlighting those kinds of things. I think it's cool she's doing stuff with Robert Smith. Let me see who else is on that. And on Olivia Rodrigo's new album, she's got a song called "Maggots for Brains." Do you think that's an homage to Parliament Funkadelic's "Maggot Brain"?
I hope so. That'd be sick.
I think it probably is. So anyway, back to Olivia Rodrigo. So Bikini Kill, Breeders, Stevie Nicks. I love Stevie Nicks. I think that's so. I'm like, this is pretty cool. That she's kind of merging pop and underground and just kind of making its own thing. Though that being said, is perhaps the leap isn't that crazy in that M, is there really that big of a distance between Stevie Nicks, Olivia Rodrigo, and even like the Breeders? Like, is there that big of a distance or Karen O? Not really. Or
No.
Garbage? No, there's not really that big of a difference. It's just really almost difference in marketing, Anyways, so I thought that was pretty cool. And I'm thinking, well, let me see if I can come up with a counter argument. Like, could this be considered predatory? Is she pulling, when the chats first got big, and even Amo and the Sniffers, who were Universal artists, I was like, Oh, and also that band, the Regrets. I'm like,
Oh, yeah.
it feels like people are analyzing my underground scene for marketability and what can they suck out of the scene that me and other people have created at a personal loss of money. Which scene, and not that I care about, I mean, I like the chats. But not that I care about them, I guess coming from punk or whatever. But the problem there is once those vampires kind of, and by vampires, I kind of mean the behind the scenes marketing people and behind the scenes business development people. Once they get in the scene, they do have a tendency to destroy it. And also, I'll point out that Ticketmaster has been known to, this is crazy, Ticketmaster has, and AXF have been known to call the police on non-Ticketmaster venues and unlicensed venues to try to get them shut down to eliminate the competition, even though that competition is small. So there is the
Oh
threat
my
of,
God.
of that creeping into our scene. However, I gotta say, the fact that Olivia Rodrigo has recorded with Robert Smith, the fact that she genuinely seems to like all these bands, and I do see a connection between most or all of these bands here, I feel like this is straight up genuine. I can't really see a negative side of the Olivia Rodrigo thing at all. I think it's cool. I think it's cool that she's doing it. And the fact of the matter is, Em, I think this is what she wants to be doing, because if she was
Yeah.
just going after the money, her business manager would not be like, yes, let's do a music festival with Santa Gold. Her music manager would be like, get out there and play shows and make me money. You know what I mean? So
Oh, totally.
I think this is kind of cool that she's doing this, and this is kind of neat. So yeah. So I think that's cool. As to Turnstile, I beat up on Turnstile a lot. Not because I dislike them. I'm just confused as to why people call them a hardcore band. I guess they used to be a hardcore band. They're definitely not a hardcore band now. They sound like Third Eye Blind. And I just get annoyed when people call them a hardcore band. And I'm not saying they're not hardcore and therefore they're bad. I'm just saying, why are we all engaging in this fiction of calling Turnstile a hardcore band? But that being said, Em, I can't say anything bad about this either. They're a band that started from the grassroots, became huge, and they're bringing some of the old friends along for the ride. I
Yeah.
can't see any negative here, Em. I can't see any negative. So I think this is kind of cool in that it's a pop star reaching over to the indie world, and an indie band that is now a pop band kind of bringing their roots with them. That's a lot more than a lot of other underground bands do. So I got to give this two thumbs up, Em. I can't find any fault aside from the fact that they're working with Ticketmaster, which in a way you can't blame them because who else you're going to work with at that level, you know? Only
True.
one band, only really only one band has gotten around Ticketmaster. And what band was that, Em?
The Cure.
No. Well, I mean, even the Cure fought back against Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster still got paid, from the Cure. NOFX, you got to give them credit. Their
Oh,
final tour,
true.
no Ticketmaster
True.
whatsoever. And I think it was a lot of work, but I think it worked for them,
I think
So.
so too. Yeah, like everyone I talked to who like went to one of those shows was just like that was like the best, you know.
So it can be done. It's just more work. And the question is, do people care enough? Do bands care enough to figure out how to make it be? NOFX proved that it can be done, at least at a certain level. Then
Yeah.
again, NOFX draws about 5,000 people. They don't draw 20,000 people, which is a different thing too, So
Yeah,
yeah.
it's a question of scale for sure. 'Cause like if you're a bigger artist and you want to do something not related to Ticketmaster and you have like all of your touring and everything kind of within your own grasp and you can do your like you can play in your own stuff and like whatever. You're not like beholden to a company or an agent or whatever. You could play non-Ticketmaster venues, but you'd have to play like multiple shows.
But and on the other hand, Em, is NOFX is kind of impenetrable, and that NOFX doesn't need Ticketmaster, and NOFX isn't quite enough big enough maybe for Ticketmaster to really hate. But if Olivia Rodrigo or Chappell Roan said, "Oh, I'm going to do this non-Ticketmaster," you better believe Ticketmaster is going to go out of his way to strike that down any way they can, either by blackballing them or blackballing people on the booking agent's roster, anything like, you know what I mean? Like it
Yeah,
gets real
true.
dirty real quick. So, and Ticketmaster quite clearly is a monopoly. And hopefully the state ruling kind of breaks it up. We'll see. Anyways, that's that. Here's something else that they're talking about breaking up. This is kind of crazy, Em. Sleep is back. And I got this press release. I'm like, ooh, Sleep is back.
Oh.
And they were like, and Dale Crover's on drums. I'm like, wow, great. And then they say, and
Yeah.
Bumblebee Breeze on guitar. I'm like, oh, that's weird. There's going to be a fourth member in Sleep, And then I saw, but there's no Matt Pike. And I'm like, oh. So is Sleep back, Em? So, of course, Sleep famously is out. Matt Pike, Al Cisneros, and for a while it was Hikas, and then it was the guy from Neurosis. What's his name, man? The guy from the that kind of got kicked out of the
Guy,
band
oh,
unceremoniously.
he was
You got fired by out of the blue. You got fired by the band, quite sadly.
Jason Roeder.
Jason Roeder, that's right. And then, but so I mean, I think almost everyone would agree that the required elements for Sleep is Cisneros and Pike. And Pike is kind of the thrasher. Cisneros is the doom metal guy. They were in Best of Death. They were in Sleep together, and then reunited Sleep together. And they're back. Well, sort of. It's Al, it's Dale, and it's Bubba Dupree. No Matt Pike. Meanwhile, the Melvins are going on tour this summer with Phantomas, not Phantomas, Tomahawk.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Dale is also releasing a solo EP, which is acoustic, and one of the tracks is him doing a Neil Young cover that merges into a Melvins cover. And Dale is also doing a solo tour with, I think, a band called the Holophonics, or actually, let me look it up real quick. Dale is going on tour with, well, some band. I think the Holophonics. I'll be at that anyways. So anyways, M on, oh, and here's where things get even stickier, M.
Oh,
So
yes. Okay.
according to the Sleep press release, Al, no, Matt wishes Al well in Sleep without Matt Pike. However,
Okay.
M, on Instagram, Matt Pike's ex-wife, not wife, not ex, not current wife, ex-wife, here's what she had to say. Let me look this up real quick. I should have had this ready. This is kind of crazy. Here we go.
Okay, I'm looking forward to
This is
hearing this.
Matt Pike's ex-wife speaking.
Okay.
I love seeing the disappointment. Almost like using the familiar intellectual property was a bad idea. Like, not really worth tarnishing the legacy, but that's okay. Some would rather cultivate their bandmates' creativity while others like to exploit it, talk down to it, belittle it, then kick it out and replace it. But what do I know?
Oh, interesting. Oh, and very, very interesting.
That's not
All
Matt Pike
right.
speaking. That's Matt Pike's wife.
Ex-wife.
Ex-wife, you're right. I'm sorry. And then actually she did a follow-up thing. No, I'm sorry. Kind of a little rambling. Part of me felt bad
No
for telling the
worries.
truth about an egomaniac musician, but I realized after I did it and it got on Reddit for a bunch of punishers to di disentangle, they realized I'm not wrong. I was tired of being quiet about it, and in my own person, I'm my own person with my own experiences and two eyes to observe a shitty situation. I'm glad the world knows someone who is known as someone who's chill as being anything but. I don't care if I lifted the veil for some. Everyone else that's worked with the guy knows how vindictive and manipulative he is. This cash grab is going to be heckled and a disappointment. I have no problem being an asshole to those who have consistently hurt and manipulated people who didn't deserve it. I just feel bad for the next guy. There's a reason why the other band they did didn't work out. It's called Being a Diva. Also, I heard the original track with the original guitars on it over a year ago while setting up a recording session. 10,000% better, but what do I know? When you're in a band, you all need to be the center of attention. You all need to encourage one another and see through each other's faults in order to cultivate a healthy relationship. It can be adverse at times, but what strong relationship isn't? Propping up those around you versus making it all about yourself, which is better? Meanwhile, M, it seems the general consensus in the doom metal community, which I'm not a part of because I like to say I like doom metal, but the only doom metal band I like is Sleep, frankly, or that I love Sleep,
Sure.
is people are pretty bummed out by this. I think a lot of people were kind of underwhelmed by this song, and a lot of people were saying, well, why don't they just call this Ohm? Ohm is the Alice's Narrow solo band. And why are they calling this Sleep but not Ohm?
Sleep will sell more tickets.
Ohm gets about probably $5,000 a show. Sleep probably gets about $120,000 a show. That's why it's Sleep and not Ohm.
Fair.
So what do we do with this? M, do you even care? I don't think you care about Sleep at all, do you?
I am not very familiar with Sleep. I do like some doom metal, and everybody who is doom adjacent is like, you gotta listen to these guys. And I just, to be honest, have not gotten around to it.
And Sleep is amazing. You gotta check
there's
out
no
Sleep.
other reason. Sorry.
You have gotta check out Sleep. Sleep is absolutely amazing.
Okay.
Absolutely
What's
amazing.
the album?
Well, there's four Sleep albums out. There's the first, which is called Volume One. That's almost more like crust punk than it is doom metal. The second is probably the starting point. It's called Holy Mountain, which it is very, 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 it's their most Black Sabbath-y album. It's an absolute classic. But then after
Oh,
that is
sick.
Dope Smoker, which is a one song, 60-minute long song, and it is absolutely mind-blowing. It really is a mind-blowing album. Then there's the reunion record, which is
Okay.
called The Sciences, which is super great too. So all those records are great. Probably start with Holy Mountain, then check out Dope Smoker, then check out The Sciences. And so first of all, M, is this
Yes.
Sleep to you? And was it poor form for Matt Pike's ex-wife to talk about this? And will it affect the band?
I don't think that it's in poor form for Matt Pike's ex-wife to talk about it. Because she's just sharing her experiences and her thoughts, and if people will take that however people take that. I think w will it have an impact on the I think it'll have an impact on the band, but I don't think it's going to necessarily have a negative impact on the band. I think more people are going to be like, Sleep without my Matt Pike, what's that going to sound like? And I think more people are going to go, or more people are going to go out of curiosity, I guess is a better way to put that. So I don't think it's hurting them. I think it's kind of going to give them that extra sort of okay, what's going on here boost. At like I checked out like a bit of the song. The song was like just okay. I do think that there will be more kind of unfold as, or more come out as like the story unfolds. That's kind of what I feel like, you know, maybe in the next couple weeks or a couple months or whatever it'll be. What do you think? And would you see them?
Yeah, I mean, I would like, I'm, you know, like, I, it doesn't bother me that much when a band goes on tour and it's not really the band. Like when Jerry Only, Marky Ramone, and Deskadeen went on tours, the Misfits, I wasn't like,
Oh,
that's not
sure.
the Misfits, because I know it wasn't the Misfits. I know it's Jerry, Des, and Marky. And I'm perfectly happy to see Jerry, Des, and Marky do the songs of Black Flag, Ramones, and Misfits, you know? So I'm
For
never
sure.
that put off by it. So I view this kind of in that way. To me, is this really sleep? The answer is no, this is not really sleep to me. But that being said, do I want to see Al Cisneros and Dale do sleep songs? The answer is yes, I do want to see that. Would I rather see Al, Dale, and Matt Pike? Most certainly yes, but I'll take what I can get, you know. I think it'll be a little underwhelming because I've seen the well, actually one of the most incredible shows I've ever seen was the original Sleep. Well, not the when they first re-released Dope Smoker. So the release before the Third Man Records release, I think. I went to the show at the Oakland Fox Theater, and the Oakland Fox Theater is I don't know, maybe 2,000 people. And on either side of the stage, they've got these giant, they're not actually stone statues, they're probably papier mâché, but these giant, maybe 30-foot tall statues that have glowing eyes, you know. And so it was for the re-release of Dope Smoker. And Sleep comes out and they play the first half of Dope Smoker. So 30 minutes of Dope Smoker. And my mind is absolutely blown. They're playing this, you know, there's smoke that
Yeah.
these giants actually have their eyes glowing. My mind, I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I don't even do weed. Then, and they did All Holy Mountain to my massive surprise. Then, and they did the entire second half of Dope Smoker. It blew my friggin' mind. It was an amazing. So I've seen, you know, the real Sleep, and I've seen them a few other times too. It was astoundingly good. Astoundingly good. I think this won't be as astoundingly good. I think it'll be cool, but I don't think you can replace Matt Pike, you know, and I don't know if you can replace the chemistry of Matt Pike and Al Cisneros. I'm very glad to see that Dale's in the band.
Yeah.
I think this will hurt them in that I think instead of every show being sold out and every show being a merch bonanza, they'll still sell a lot of tickets, they'll still sell a lot of merch, but they won't sell quite as much because I think a lot of people will be disappointed. And I think it won't be, and plus, I think when people go, you know, it's like going to see, quote, the Dead Kennedys or black,
Oh,
quote, Black
sure.
Flag. Black Flag's a better example. Going to see Black Flag, you know, I mean, I'm definitely going to go see Black Flag Kids Bop, you know, and actually, I'm kind of excited for it, but I'm not going to leave saying, wow, I just saw Black Flag. I'm going to leave saying, oh, I saw Greg Ginn and Three Kids, you know, which I'm, you know.
Right.
Or maybe a better example might be Black Flag with, what's his name, the skateboard guy, Mike Vallely. Like, you know,
Oh,
I didn't
right.
leave the show saying, oh, I just saw Black Flag. I'm like, oh, I saw Greg Ginn, you know, and Duke
Yeah.
trying to be Black Flag, which is a little bit of a letdown, you know. So I think it will hurt them. I think this perhaps does tarnish the legacy a little bit. I wonder how rich Al Cisneros is. I suspect, and I have reason to believe that Sleep made a lot of money, which I think they should. So does he
Right.
need to be doing this? I don't know, man. I mean, I would love to see Ohm, and I would love to see Ohm with Dale Crover. I definitely will go to this, but I do feel this tarnishes the legacy. But I'll accept it if that makes any sense. It tarnishes the legacy, but I'll
I
still
think
accept
so.
it. So that's my answer. However, and I'm not trying to start any rumors, is this is also interesting to me.
Okay.
The last Melvins album was Melvins and Napalm Death, but that's actually their second to last album because that was recorded before the actual last Melvins album, which was Melvins 1983. Melvins
Yes.
1983 is Buzz, the original Melvins guitar player, Mike Dillard, the original Melvins drummer. Dale is the drummer now, but Mike Dillard was the drummer for the first year and a half, and Dale on bass. But the last Melvins 1983 album, M, was just Buzz and Dillard, no Dale, right? Now, Dale was on
Right.
the most recent, you know, Melvins and Napalm Death record. And of course, Dale is on tour with the Melvins and Tomahawk.
Yes.
However, the Melvins have had two drummers before, but yet again, we see Melvins two drummers, Dale and Cody, which is awesome. But if I was a drummer in a band and the second drummer was brought in, I think I might be a little peeved. You know, Dale says he's not, you know. So
Right.
put that aside. So meanwhile, Dale is now also touring with Sleep, a big commitment, and he's touring as a Dale Cover solo band. All things which I'm very excited about.
Yes.
However, Buzz Osborne has also said, oh, he's got a new band that will function side by side with the Melvins. You see, a new band.
Oh my goodness.
Now,
Holy.
maybe I'm making much ado about nothing because Buzz has been doing solo stuff for over 10 years now, I think. And that hasn't fractured the Melvins at all. And you know, when you're in a band with each other for 40 years, maybe sometimes you need a little bit of a break. So, on one hand, I'm very concerned about the Melvins. Very concerned. If we look at the facts impartially, you see.
Yes.
But on the other hand, maybe they just need to, maybe they're just kind of spreading their wings so they don't get sick of each other, you know. What's your gut reaction on that? Because here's the facts. Here's the facts.
Yes.
Dale was not on the last Melvins album. He is touring with the Melvins this summer, of course, but there's another drummer. Buzz has says he's starting a new band that he says will be in tandem with the Melvins. And oh, but also Dale is touring Dale solo. He's putting out a solo record, which he's done before, and he's touring with Sleep for a lot of dates. But on the other hand, Sleep doesn't actually tour that much. They tour like once every 3 years. So maybe it's not that big of a commitment, you know? What's your gut reaction, Em? Your gut reaction.
My gut reaction is I think it's like, hey, I'm really excited about these things and I'm going to make all of these things work. And I think it's also kind of that thing where it's I like having a lot on the go and it helps me like focus kind of thing. You know? Like, okay, I'm gonna be in this band and play in this style. I'm gonna be in this band and play in this style. I'm gonna be in this band and play in this style. And it kind of like helps like keep your brain like very awake and aware and everything and more ideas and different things. So I think that's what's going on. That's my gut reaction.
So you think everything is well and good in the Melvins camp and there is no discord?
Yes. Or like no more discord than normal.
Interesting.
You think there's discord?
I don't necessarily think there's discord. If I would guess, and this is pure, I have no inside info, and I hope I'm
Right.
wrong. I don't know that there's discord, but I feel there might be distance. And then I feel, you know, you always like to pretend your favorite band is a bunch of friends hanging out, you know, and some bands are, most aren't. And I feel that perhaps there's a distance within the Melvins, and now it's strictly a business relationship. And when a band is just a business relationship, and I don't mean to say they're not artistic, but I mean perhaps the friendship angle has cooled off. And so then it's easier to go do other things when it's strictly business and not friendship, you know? And I'm a little concerned, frankly.
Interesting. Okay.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But, you know, if we look at the facts, we see more distance in the Melvins than we have previously. Although Dale and Buzz have done t solo stuff before, the only thing that's giving me pause is there so many of these things are linking up together at the same time, you see.
Okay.
Like
Yeah.
when Buzz just went out and did a solo tour, like, oh yeah, Buzz wants to do solo stuff. But we've got all these things linking up at once. And I'm not trying to start rumors, I don't know, but I have some pause. I think we'll know one way or another in 6 to 8 months. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, just kind of wait it out. Hopefully everything's good in their
Yeah,
camp.
me too. Me too. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. M Ceremony has a new album. It's their first album in what, how many years? Crazy number of years. Like 9 years?
I think so. Yeah. I didn't put it in
Crazy.
the thing.
Let me see. Oh, I thought I did this news story. You did it?
Yeah.
Maybe I type it up, but you type it up first. I think that's what happened. Their last album was 2019, so their first album in 7 years. It's a little bit. So the new track is called Death, Destruction, Mayhem. It's a little bit more punky than the previous stuff, but it's not the hardcore era, and it's certainly not the not power metal. What do you call it? Blast beat punk. And what do you call that?
D beat.
No, not D beat. What Ceremony was originally. It's totally
Oh.
skipping my power violence.
Oh, power violence,
Definitely
yeah.
not the power violence of the earliest stuff. And what do you think of this song? Will Ceremony return to being a cultural force like they were during Ronan Park? Or is this kind of a band in their mature era where nothing radical is going to happen, but they're going to put out records that people may or may not enjoy? What's going to happen with Ceremony?
I think it's the we still enjoy making music, so I don't think there's going to be anything like too radical unless they want to take a like an experimental direction. I think that they might return to their roots, but I don't think they're going to be returning to their roots to the extent of like making an album that sounds like Ronan Park, you know,
But
at all.
do you think you're going to be, when Ronan Park came out, everybody was ceremony, 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 ceremony.
Yeah.
Will that happen again? Or will it, like, trying to think of an example here.
Okay.
When Bouncing Souls put out a record, it's not everyone talking about it. It's like Bouncing Souls says, like, oh, cool, new Bouncing Souls record is out. But it's not driving the cultural conversation. Like Scow was 2 years ago, or this year might be Turnstile, for example. Will Ceremony
Oh, fair.
be the cultural driver they were in 2010, or are they kind of in their mature, grown-up phase where the fans are into it or not into it, but they're not, driving the music discussion?
I think they're definitely in their more kind of mature age or era, however you want to phrase it. Because I think they know who they are as people. They know who they are as a band. And the direction that they want to go in, I think, is just going to be whatever kind of strikes them, like whatever's inspiring them right now, which I think, Death, Destruction, Mayhem is a perfect example of. It's like, it feels like this is the type of music that the band want to be making. It doesn't feel like they're being driven by anything other than just kind of this is our the sound we want right now. So that would be my kind of two cents. I think people are going to talk about it because it is their first album in quite a while, and I think with Ceremony, everybody has the what's this album going to sound like what direction are they going in, like what's it going to be, kind of. So I do think it's going to get a bit more buzz kind of in general, but I don't think it's going to be kind of like driving the cultural kind of like touchstone or anything. But I think, if you're a fan, you're going to like it. They're probably going to bring in new fans with this. Yeah. That would be my kind of two cents. What do you think?
I think they're still kind of struggling with what they've been struggling with ever since Ronan Park, in that, and when they play live, they'll play two fast songs, then a slower, newer one, then two fast songs, or three fast songs, and then two slower ones. I think perhaps they are struggling with an identity, in that, I guess they were trying to do the David Bowie thing where you kind of gradually change your identity, which is kind of how you have to do it. But I feel as though maybe they're not exactly sure where they want to go from here. I thought Death, Destruction, Mayhem is cool. It's more kind of Gang of Four post-punky than it is hardcore. And of course, I'm not saying that Ceremony has to be hardcore, but what I kind of want from Ceremony is hardcore. And I would love for them to do a hardcore record that's like weird and freaky. Instead of doing that, they're kind of going in the post-punk direction, which I think the record will be good. I don't know if it's going to blow me away. The single I thought was okay. I thought it was good. Didn't blow me away. I think they're kind of in their mature phase, and I think at this point Ceremony is what Ceremony is going to be. On a related note is, so they had pre-orders, and I did pre-order the record, and they had a special edition that came with like a sleep mask for some reason, which I always enjoy interesting gags that come with
Oh,
stuff. But
yeah,
it was
that's
70
cool.
bucks, and I debated, and I did order it. But afterwards, I didn't feel super great about it, and this is really more on me than Ceremony, because with the Doors records, I'd love to make special edition ones and definitely snatch them up. But I'm kind of at a point where there's so many records coming out, which I'm not complaining about, and there's so many special editions. For some bands, it's kind of becoming a bit of a chore, and so I'm like, well, I did spend 70 bucks on the Ceremony record, but I'm like, I kind of only wanted to spend like 25, And so at least with me is I got to kind of, I feel like I want to for a while I was only getting the special editions for my favorite bands. Then somehow it kind of became I gotta get the special edition for every record that comes out that I want. I think I gotta step back from that and just kind of go back to getting super special editions only for my very favorite bands and for my the w ones that I want. Just go with the regular, you know, because records are getting more and more expensive. And I think labels and bands kind of have to be careful with the price point, you know, because 75
Yeah.
bucks or 70 bucks. Well, shipping was like $12 or $15, which is kind of brutal, you know. So that's kind of rough, you know. So I don't know. That's just how I was feeling with regard to that release, you know, especially because, honestly, because I wasn't thrilled with the single. I thought it was good. And I'm kind of in this line where, you know, I'm a big Ceremony fan. I was a huge fan of Ceremony with Ronette Park. I've got every official Ceremony release, so I'm like, well, I gotta keep up the trend. I gotta get every single, you know. But maybe I don't have to anymore because maybe for some bands, it's not quite as being fun tracking down these expensive and harder to get records. You know, maybe I can deal with just the CD, you know.
Sure. Yeah, not collect everything.
But
Unless it's really cool.
along those lines, then Joy Division just announced a 14 CD box set, and it's live,
Yeah.
and it seems like what is most it's reclaimed bootlegs, and there's some famous bootlegs in here. For example, I believe the Amsterdam show is in here. I think the YMCA London, that's another bootleg show. Oh, he's Le Bains Duchesse, or however you pronounce that, Paris. That's kind of a famous bootleg. Paradiso Amsterdam, that's a famous bootleg. Eindhoven, I think that's a bootleg one. So a lot of these shows are kind of reclaimed bootlegs, which I'm all for bands reclaiming the bootlegs. The question is, how good will the sound quality be? So a couple of questions here, and actually, do we want to go to the next story as well, or do you want to separate this story and the next story?
Separate them.
So here's the question, Em. This is pretty cool. Like 14 live
Oh,
record,
yeah.
you know. A, is that too much? Can anyone really enjoy 14 live records in a set, you know? B,
Okay. Yeah.
should Jordan, like, let's say all the bootlegs sound great. Okay, but what if some of them do sound like bootlegs? Should Joy Division still put this out if the records themselves have a crappy sound quality? Where do you stand on this?
Okay.
And what do you think of the price point, 140 bucks?
140. Okay. Okay, first of all, 14 CDs of live stuff. Listening to 14 CDs in a row is way too much. Spreading them out is the key. Also, you have DVDs with this. You have two DVDs. So I think it's a really cool idea to have like that much. And then you can kind of pick and choose like your favorite shows and like all sorts of stuff and get to hear how everything was recorded because everything was recorded very differently too. Like you mentioned, like some of them are bootleg, some of them are broadcast recordings, you know, like stuff like that. So it'll be really interesting to hear how different each CD sounds. It said that they were all mastered at Abbey Road Studios, so I think the sound quality is going to be pretty decent overall. That said, it is hard to try to kind of recover stuff from like a recording from the 80s, but I think it can be done and I think it can be done really well. So I'm going to be very optimistic with this and I'm going to say that they are going to sound good. They released a live version of Transmission that was from Les Bains Douches in Paris. So, and that one sounds great. Like I think it sounds cool. So if everything sounds like that, that'd be sick. And the DVDs, I mean, like would be really cool. $140 for 14 CDs and two DVDs, I think is fair, just because that's a lot of stuff. And kind of like bundled together. So, you know, like, I think that's a fair price for what it is. It's also like their first official collection of live recordings. So, you know, some of them, like you mentioned, like the bootlegs have been around for like ever and they've never seen anything from it. So, I think this is really cool. I don't think I could listen to 14 CDs back to back to back, but spread out over days. Yes, definitely. And I really like getting stuff that has a lot to it. So I kind of have that like unraveling time where it's okay, I've listened to the first one. Now I'm going to listen to the second one. And oh, I'm looking forward to listening to the third one like tomorrow or the day after or whatever. So I think it's like a little advent calendar type thing. What about you? What's your take?
Well, with regards, I love when bands take back boot. Like, I think more bands should do, I think every band should do that, frankly. My only
Yeah.
caveat is if the recording is crappy, still put it out, but don't charge a lot for it, or put it for free on Bandcamp and say this sounds crappy. That being
Right.
said, the sample they posted sounds pretty good to me, you know. So if everything sounds that good, then I'm like, this is all premium material. I think $140 for 16 CDs is downright cheap, and I think they're playing their hand wise. I think that's pretty rad. As to whether or not that's too much material, my answer is a few years ago, Judas Priest put out 50 Years of Heavy Metal, the box set. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 41 CDs, and of those 41 CDs, of those 41 CDs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12, maybe 11, 10, 10 unreleased live albums, then. So almost the same as Joy Division box
Ooh.
set. Is that too much? The answer is no. I did not listen to all at once, obviously, but it's so much fun. I mean, Judas Priest is one of my favorite bands. It's so much fun to kind of savor, like not once a day, not once
Yeah.
a week, maybe once a month. Say, oh, let's put on this Judas Priest concert that I've never heard. You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is Judas Priest is much closer to the end of their career than their beginning. So it's a real thrill to hear new material, even if it's live. You know, so it's and it's a lot of fun and great. It's like, wow, like Judas Priest from '79, Judas Priest 1990. So it's a really fun and cool box set. It's one of my favorite box sets ever. I was lucky enough to get one. I got it used, M, for I think $150, maybe 200.
Cool.
Now going online, M, $700. Wow.
No, that's insane.
So, anyways, is this too much? I would say no, except the only difference here, though, M, is where the Judas Priest live albums span 50 years, this spans 3 years, you know, and two albums,
Yeah.
or three albums, essentially. You know, Unknown Pleasures, Closer, and then still the compilation.
Yeah.
That being said, it's Joy Division. It's one of the, you know, it's one of the most foundational and important and influential bands of all time. And in fact, this past weekend, the announcement of this box set caused me to re-listen to Unknown Pleasures, which I probably haven't listened to in maybe about 2 years or so. And Joy Division is so insanely good. It is
They
so insanely
are
good. And so the fact of the matter is, if
so
any band
good.
M is worthy of 14 live albums, it's got to be Joy Division, you know.
Oh, hell
So
yeah.
I think it's cool. If this was like one of those like where you have to spend like $600 to get all the content, I'd be put off. But the fact that it's $140 for 14 live records or CDs, that's cool as hell. I'm all about it. Well done. I think that's cool. Here's something that's a little bit more divisive in the music community.
Okay.
New Order, which of course is the successor band of Joy Division, which of course it what was Bernard Sumner, Jillian Gilbert, Stephen Morse, and Peter Hook, who hasn't been in the band in maybe 20 years or so. That
Yeah.
was New Order. And when Peter Hook, did he quit or get kicked out of New Order? I forget.
I think he quit, if I'm
Or
remembering
is it one
correctly.
of those he said, she said kind of things?
I will do a quick Google search.
I read both of Peter Hook's biographies, the Joy Division one and the New Order one. They're both super good. And the New Order one was like 1,000 pages. And I read it in like 3 days. It doesn't feel like 1,000 pages. You should read them both. And so, anyways, when
Yeah.
Peter Hook first started doing Joy Division, people forget about this. When Peter Hook first started doing Joy Division New Order shows, he got savaged online. Pitchfork and the AV Club gave him terrible reviews. Like, Peter Hook is not New Order. Peter Hook not Joy Division. He got beat up so bad. Only one publication then said that it was cool. What publication was that?
Punk news.
Punk News was the only publication to say it's kind of cool. Since then, man, it's actually been quite amazing to see the reaction in that. Now, Peter Hook doing New Order and Joy Division is I don't know if it's celebrated, but it's enjoyed, it seems like, and you know, gets good reviews. But when Peter Hook was just doing when just Peter Hook was doing Joy Division New Order, people are like, well, that's just one guy, the bass player. How dare he just do this one, the whole band, which is the bass player. Well, Jillian and Stephen Morse are stepping back from touring on New Order, meaning that the only original member of New Order now is Bernard Sumner. And of course, Bernard used to beat up on Peter Hook for just doing solo stuff. And so Peter Hook was being quite smug about this online, I think. So, Em, what's your take on Bernard Sumner being the only member of New Order doing New Order? Where do you stand on that?
That's one of the things where it's like it feels odd because like a lot of the people who are in the band are still around, you know? So that's kind of where I go from it. And obviously like these two, like they have stepped back due to like health reasons, which again, completely understandable. Like that's what you got to do, what you got to do. Your health comes first, kind of no matter what. But I do think that it's interesting that no other members of the band want to be a part of it.
Who else is? I mean, there's only four, right?
Well, there's
So,
just Peter Hook. Like, he doesn't want to be a part of it,
yeah,
right?
but he and Bernard Sumner hate each other.
I know.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
I think that kind of speaks for itself, you know, when you're like your bandmates. Well, I mean, obviously, health reasons, that's a whole other can of worms. But like, when you have a bandmate who is able to and is just like, yeah, no, like, that's something that's not happening. I think that's pretty telling, you know?
Wait, so you're saying you think Bernard Sumner's a jerk, is what you're saying?
That's what I'm kind of gathering from this whole thing.
So yeah, that's not what I gathered from this. On interesting. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a jerk. Peter Hook says he's a total jerk, and Bernard Sumner says Peter Hook's a total jerk. I have a suspicion that maybe sometimes two things can be true at the same time.
Probably.
We've had Peter Hook on the podcast, and he was cool with us. I've interviewed him a couple times. He's been cool. But doesn't mean he was the easiest guy. And he admits that he wasn't. I mean, in the New Order book that he wrote, he talked about how he was constantly doing drugs and banging chicks and how the band was constantly kind of digging at each other. And, it is astounding to me that, like, in bands like New Order and The Police, like, even though Joy Division was a punk band, I think New Order is kind of, almost a pop band, And so
Oh
bands like
yeah,
The
that's
Police
fair.
and New Order, it's like, what is there to fight about? Like in The Police, really, what is there to fight about? Get on stage, play songs that everybody loves, and cash your $3 million check, But in some of these bands, there's just so much in. Like, I can understand that there's an infighting in Discharge, or the infighting in Poison Idea, or Black Flag, but I'm astounded that in bands like The Police and New Order that there's that much infighting,
I think it's more personality based, like just like, oh
Well,
yeah, we
yeah.
never got along.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right. You would think they'd say, well, I mean, let's look at the police, The police, they'd be like, well, listen, we don't really like each other, but we do like $3 million. So let's just go play songs and make $3 million, But I guess at some point it's just so deep. The point being is I don't know if I feel as though that there is necessarily a personality clash between Jillian Moore, Stephen Gilbert, and Bernard Sumner. A am I
Right.
saying his name wrong? Because I always confuse him with Sumner from The Police.
I
And,
believe that
so
is
Andy Summers,
correct.
Stuart Copeland, and Sting. Okay, that's okay. Yeah. So, anyways,
Yeah.
so I don't necessarily think there's a personality clash. I do think it's somewhat ironic that Bernard Sumner was criticizing Peter Hook for years, and now he's doing what Peter Hook is doing. But that being said,
Yeah.
if we say what Peter Hook is doing is okay, then we have to say what Bernard Sumner is doing is okay too, right?
Oh yeah, like I think what he's doing is fine. I don't have an issue with him doing it because like again, people had to step back for health reasons. I wish them both the best. Like I hope they recover and everything goes well for them because like that's a really crappy thing to have to deal with. But it's also like just looking at yeah, like I've seen Peter Hook in the light and they're awesome.
They
I
are
saw
awesome.
the they are amazing. I saw the Buzzcocks at Pooza. which is, like kind of what a very similar situation, and they were really good. So no, I don't have a problem with him continuing the band and kind of going forward, where it's just kind of he's the only original member or whatever.
There is a slight difference though, was where Peter Hook is, I'm Peter Hook, whereas Bernard Sumner is, I'm
Oh,
New
fair.
Order. There is a slight difference there, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But then how do you feel about Buzzcocks?
I feel it's not really the Buzzcocks. I mean, I'm not that personally invested in the Buzzcocks, so it doesn't really bother me one way or another. And even if I was, it wouldn't really bother. I mean, people get very upset about Greg Ginn's quote "Black Flag." It doesn't bother me
Right.
because to me that's not Black Flag. I mean, you know, if I buy if I buy if someone hasn't well, I'm this is I'm thinking of a dumb example, but if someone has Pepsi in their hand and they're like, "Do you want to buy this Coke?" and I know I'm buying Pepsi and I buy it, then I'm not going to be upset that it's not Coke. I know it's not Coke. Like the name is really,
Right.
you know. I'm not that offended. Well, actually, sleep is the best example. Sleep's a perfect example. To me, I know that's not sleep, but I'm willing to accept it, you know. And so,
Sure.
you know, with New Order, so with Buzzcocks, to me, it's not really the Buzzcocks, but I'm not really that personally involved in the Buzzcocks. I mean, I like them. I really like Pete Shelley's first three solo records, but I don't find that offensive. I'm trying to think of what would I find offensive. If Mick Jagger alone went out as the Rolling Stones, I wouldn't find that offensive, but I would find it disappointing, and I would still go, but I would feel underwhelmed. You see what I'm saying?
I think so. Yeah.
So I'm just not that hung up on title. Anyway, the point being is, I think Bernard Sumner should be able to do that. I'm not that offended by it being called New Order, and the fact that actually, and then here's another thing: in a festival scenario, what percentage of people do you think actually care that it's just Bernard Sumner?
I say this with all due respect to music nerds. People who know about it.
Yeah, but what percentage do you think?
Probably 30,
Yeah, I would
and
say
that's
like 15.
high.
Yeah, I would say like
Yeah.
15%. You know,
Yeah.
and you and I, because we're in this world, we think everyone
Yes.
knows, you know, blah blah blah. People go see the Dead Kennedys and they don't realize it's not Jello, you know.
No, like
People go
they're
see
just like, it's
Far
him.
people go see Foreigner that has no members, and people are like, yeah, I
Oh,
saw
yeah.
Foreigner, you know, like or Journey, you know.
Right.
People, you know, I love Judas. I love Judas Priest, and they were awesome this summer. But now Judas Priest is, well, actually, Judas Priest is still kind of Judas Priest. It's Rob Halford and Ian Hill and Scott Travis, and then two guys on guitars. So, you know, Judas Priest was famous for having being the first band with two lead guitars, Glenn Tipton and KK Downing. Neither of them are in the band right now, but most people probably don't even know, you know, when they go see Judas Priest, you know. So most people don't care. So I don't know, where am I going with this? I'm not that bothered by it. I guess it's kind of funny that Bernard Sumner's dog on Peter Hook. But listen, Peter Hook and Stephen Morris, Morrissey and
Johnny Marr.
Johnny Marr, Jell-O and East Bay Ray, it's the same dynamic. John Joseph and Harley, same dynamic. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Same dynamic.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's do one more story. And Flavor Flav and Chuck D for a limited period of time. Well,
True.
the Flav-Em has detailed his She Weekend. Of course, as the listeners might know, the Flav personally sponsored the women's water polo team in the last Summer Olympics, which is kind of cool. And since then, he's made it a point to be a proponent of women in sports.
Hell
And
yeah.
you know, I talked last time, like, is this cool or is this kind of weird and sketchy? Well, Em, the Flav has announced the She Weekend, and now we have the details. It's July 16 to 19 in Las Vegas. And the event will bring together more than 100 winter sports athletes, including members of Team USA Women's Hockey and USA Bobsled and Skeleton, for events, programming, community initiatives, and celebrations designed to spotlight women in sports. So, really, what it seems to me, it's kind of like seminars, and you go and you hang out. It's a seminar, like a
Sure.
convention, you know. So, I gotta say, Em, I mean, this is not the turn I expected the Flav to take, frankly. But I'm saying Flav should be commended here. He's, you know, a lot of people, Chuck D, they do a lot of talking about equality and all this kind of stuff, you know. Other artists do too. A lot of artists in the punk world, you know, like we're all about equality. Now give us money and, you know, drink beer with us and, you know, we'll see you on the next tour. The Flav-Em I can't really see what he's getting that much out of this. The Flav is saying, for whatever reason, and arguably it's important, women's in sports and the equality of women's in sports appears to be very important to Flav. I think you've got to give him the two thumbs up on this, Em. I think he's putting his money where his mouth is. And I think if you would ask me what does Flav care about, this is not the thing that I would have picked. But on the other hand, he's got daughters, so maybe he really does care about this, you know? So I think you guys say Flav two thumbs up and good on Flav, and it's cool he's putting his money where his mouth is. What's your take on this, Em?
Yeah, I think this is really cool. It's so nice to see like women in sports like be very like be celebrated and have a place where you can like meet other people and like different things, especially with the USA women's hockey team, because all of the shit that the US men's hockey team kind of said about them. So it's really nice to see
Or what'd they
them
say about
have
them?
this thing, just misogynistic bullshit.
What did they say?
It was like, 1 minute. USA men's hockey team, women's team
Why
comments.
look it up? I'm trying to figure out how much this costs, and it might be free. I don't want to say that it's free, but like maybe it might be free. There's no
Is it
tickets on.
free?
Well, I mean, on the website, like, there's no place to buy tickets. I think it might be free.
Hey, that's good. That'd be great, because then, like, again, more people, like, it's accessible to more people can go and, like, see what's going on. I think this is really cool that, like, he's doing this. And I think, just to get back to like, does he actually care? I think he does actually genuinely have an interest in this and like wants to help these people and everything. So I think it's great to see.
It looks like there's a party at the official party at the Marquee Nightclub. I'm gonna Google that real quick, Em, and see what happens.
Hell yeah.
Let's see here. Maybe I'll fly out for this.
Pardon?
Maybe I'll fly out for the
Oh my
She
God,
League game.
yes. Please do. I want to hear about it. Oh, it's coming right up, eh? July 16 to 19.
Let's see here.
Also.
Pauly D of Jersey Shore is going to be there July 3rd, M.
Oh. Is he the situation? Or is the situation
No,
another
Situation's a different
guy?
guy.
Oh, okay. Was gonna make a situation joke, damn.
Did I say July 17, M? Is that what I said?
When the Jersey Shore man is there?
No, when it's the She Weekend party at the nightclub.
I think so.
Let me
Let's
look
see
real
if
quick
there's
here.
anything on here.
Here we go. I really am curious as to like what this will actually be. Let's see here. Yeah, July 17 is the official party at the nightclub, but the nightclub doesn't have it listed. Well, we'll see.
That
We'll see.
is strange.
That is strange. What they do have is someone called DJ Irie, and that is wow. Oh no, wait.
Who is it?
40 bucks if you're man, $40 if you're a guy, $26 if you're a woman.
That's great.
And that's DJ Irie. So that maybe that's the thing. I
Oh,
don't know.
okay.
So, and we'll have to see, man. I am very excited to see how
Maybe.
this turns out.
I hope it turns out well. I hope this is a good
Yeah, me
thing.
too. I hope it becomes an annual event. I want Flav to
Honestly.
succeed on this. So yeah.
Hell yeah. And like winter sports are fucking tough. Like training for that, insanity.
Well, you got the Flav to support you, Em.
Exactly.
Em, anything else you want to cover on this week? Anything else you want the people to know about? Next week, we've got on a Sam Barrett guest. I'm trying to remember who that it was or is.
I met Sam this week,
How
yesterday. I
that
met Sam in
go?
person, Sam and Chris yesterday in person. It was awesome. It was really, really great.
What'd you guys do?
We try or I took them to Grandma Loves You, which is a really good sandwich shop in Toronto. It's like a Toronto chain. And it's really, really cool. It was started by like German immigrants, and like they do really, really, really good like cured meat and stuff. So yeah, and they have the American hot dog. So Sam tried the American hot dog. But yeah, we'll talk about it more, I think, next week. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. So did that and walked around, and there's a park that has like a fountain with like dog statues and stuff. So that was, and one cat. There's a single cat. So showed them that, and that was pretty fun too. Yeah, it was nice. I started my
Well,
record
there.
collection. Very
What'd you
exciting.
get?
Phil from Mothland gave me a copy of Bingo by La Sécurité. So I am very excited. I love that album. I love that band.
What band?
La Sécurité.
I've never heard that band, I don't think.
You should listen to them. They're really, really good. They're
Okay.
very dancey and post-punky and arty, and they're a lot of fun. They sing in English and French. We have a couple like of their videos and stuff up on the site, and they're a little, just so much fun.
Are they better or worse than the New Ceremony single?
Better, in my opinion.
Are they better or worse than the Olivia Rodrigo and Robert Smith song?
I haven't heard that one yet, but I'm gonna say better just because I haven't heard the other one.
Well, there you have it. And so, are they sing in French or English?
Both.
Oh, there you go. All right, then. Is it better or worse than the Judas Priest 50 Years of Judas Priest box set with 41 whopping Judas Priest CDs in and a book?
I don't think anything can top 41 CDs in a book.
Right answer, right answer. Well, anyways, so that's the Punk News Podcast. We'll have a guest on next week. It's going to be Scarborough. And
Oh,
until
cool.
then, Em, when will we see them?
Next week.